you know, how much of my life is so busy with all the things that getting quiet and still is so uncomfortable. This same person, though, later wrote to the pastor and said, you know, I've come to a place now when I come to church, it's my favorite part of church. Instead, I find myself saying, oh, pastor, please don't interrupt it. Please don't interrupt this time. Because it was in that place where we'd begin to hear God begin to speak, and it was so rich and so full. And this year ahead, may we have those times of quiet stillness where we don't want it to be interrupted by anything or anyone because we're in His presence. Can we invite the Mathesons up to give us a little family news? Let's welcome Keith and Karen up.
Is this on? Okay, sorry. We're just so happy to be here on the first day of the year. Happy new 2012 to everybody, and it couldn't be a better place to be to start the year than with dedicating it to the Lord. In our Facebook reading this week, going through Revelation, it just struck me the contrast between Christmas, the beginning of Jesus' life and His birth and as a baby and how helpless, and He was really at our mercy. You know, He just put Himself in our hands. And then in Revelation 19:11 through 13, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice He judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on His head are many crowns. He has a name written on Him that no one knows but He Himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. And how awesome that picture is when we think of the turmoil in the world and how scary things are. We can trust that He will make it right, and He is going to come, and He will bring justice for His people and for the whole earth. And if anybody has their connection cards, everybody should have one. Please be filling that out so we can put it into the collection as it comes through. And we'll be tearing those in half so that you can keep one half and invite somebody with it to church this week. And there is a free book and CD out in the lobby at the table out there. If anybody hasn't gotten that, please pick one of those up so you can learn a little bit more about our church. Tonight is our monthly meeting at the Yakult Evangelical Free Church, our night of worship. We're going to be having worship and prayer for healing tonight. It's going to be a wonderful time together, so please come. This Wednesday, the middle school and high school youth will be meeting at the Starting Grounds Church at 6:30, and that'll be happening every Wednesday night this month at Starting Grounds. So please come and see what's going on with our youth. On the 15th of January, Sunday, we will hold our final fundraiser for the Yakult Cares Linderman Project. And right over here is a floor plan of their house. And it's all closed in, and preparations are being made to finish the inside. We're going to have a chili feed, and we'll sell square footage towards completing the inside. So please come on Sunday, January 15th. It's going to be at 2 p.m. at the house up there, and consider purchasing a square foot or two to help with the completion of the project. So I think I'll give it to my husband, Keith.
And I'm going to pray over the offering, and make sure you have the connection card filled out, and use that invitation card this New Year's as well. And Lord, I just thank You for this church and this ministry. I pray that You'll bless over everybody here this year, that You'll bless them and the church with the resources they need to spread the good news to this community. And we just thank You for this opportunity to give towards that effort, Lord. In Your holy name, amen. And one thing, hearing Dan talk in the first service, we're going through Facebook, and I'm wondering how many people are getting hungry about reading that Facebook. You know, I think that's a good sign of really being in the Spirit. And going through God's Facebook in the book of Revelation this month, with it was like reading history before it happened or is going to happen. This is because history is his story, and I love history. And it is his story, whether you're looking in the past at the great things that God are doing or in the future that's coming up. We are in a great race, and that is accomplishing God's purposes. We don't have to go into the new year like lemmings over a cliff. If our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we have good news to share about a bright future for other people, to other people. We advance for Christ's sake, knowing that at the finish line there will be a grand victory celebration. The Bible says a vast multitude of the redeemed will be around the throne of God, rejoicing in the place prepared for us in our Father's house. It's going to be a grand celebration. I sort of learned that a little bit during this Christmas time. Revelation 19:7-8 says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding supper of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." That fine linen represents lives washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, and it also represents the righteous acts of the saints. So in 2012, let's make some history for Christ in Battleground. Why don't we do that? Amen. And now I'd like to introduce our beloved pastor, Dan Russell. Thank you.
Well, Happy New Year. We've got a great year ahead, and we're jumping into a series I've called Soul Formation. I really feel this is a year where God is really going to have us focus on our soul. And this morning I thought it appropriate with so many people that had a night of celebrating and many people that are in bed, still sleeping from their long night, appropriate today to call the message Waking the Soul. So if you're sitting next to someone that starts nodding off a little bit, just give them a nice gentle elbow. And say, wake up, wake up. Waking the soul. And Kaufman's, can I say this? I am excited for the year ahead. I really am. I don't know if you know this, but they used to, and I didn't know that I did this. They would wait for the time that I'd say, I'm so excited. I didn't know I'd say that all the time, but now I know. Because I really am excited with what's taking place and what I believe God has for us in the season ahead. And I believe that it's a season where we're going to embark on a dangerous and exciting journey together. I think it's going to be an adventure that's full of mystery. And that's part of the excitement. If you already knew what was going to happen, that's not as much fun. It's going to be full of mystery. It's going to be a little bit dangerous. It's going to be an adventure. It's going to be full of unusual twists and turns. I believe this season ahead is going to be a season where we're really going to walk in the disciplines and the freedom. And you know, you can't have true freedom if you don't have discipline. One of the things that I think about a lot is my wife, who will spend hours at my house just playing the piano. She'll just sit and she'll play and she'll play and she'll play because there's a discipline to that. She's learning the instrument. But because she knows the instrument, she can play with freedom. And she can flow. She can go from one song to the next song because of a discipline. And we can't walk in the freedom without those disciplines. And I feel like this is a season ahead where God is going to be, I think, building in us deeper in our disciplines. It's like wrestling practice. You want to be successful as a wrestler, you got to show up for practice. And it's not fun, is it, Miguel? It's tough. It's hard. There's times you don't want to be there. But it's that discipline that gives you the freedom in the moment in a match where you've been there 100 times and all of a sudden you react without having to think. God wants us to walk in those disciplines so that when we hear His voice, we can respond in the spontaneous moment in the fullness of who He's called us to be. I believe this year, this is going to be encouraging for many of you. This year's not going to be easy. It's not going to be without pain. But what an undertaking we get to jump into. What an awesome adventure we're going to have with the Lord this year. I really believe this is going to be an incredible season. I think the way ahead, there's two things that jumped out at me in 2012. Jerry Cook, when he came and spoke, talked about how some pastors came and said, "What is your devotional life like?" And Jerry Cook responded with, "I don't have a devotional life. I have a life of devotion." And I thought, that's it. That's something that God wants to stir in us. It's not that we've got our devotional life. We've got our compartmental moment with God. No, our whole life. It's a life of devotion, fully devoted to Him and walking that out. And you know, we've talked about God's Facebook, and out on the counter out here, we've got these. It's just where we're walking through the Bible together as a church. It's been awesome this past year as we did that together. I love that each one of us, God begins to speak to, and He's moving in us, and we have something to begin to offer to other people, what's stirring in us in our time together. This, though, is not something for us to just be able to do a check off. It really is about us coming to a place of being in His presence, being awakened to His presence. He wants to speak to us, and I've been thinking a lot about, as I come to God and I read His Word, instead of looking at something for me to check off my list so that I've got a devotional life, that really it's a life of devotion, and God wants to have a conversation with me. What a beautiful thing to open up His Word and say, "God, what do you want to speak to me today about? Let's have a conversation this morning. Let's have a conversation today, you and me." So the way ahead is a life of devotion, and I think secondly is being His face in our community and culture. Being His face. What a beautiful picture of that with our Hotel Bethlehem, bless you. Hotel Bethlehem, for those of you that weren't able to come be a part, we last Saturday turned this place into Hotel Bethlehem, where as people arrived, we let them know that there was no room for them. The hotel was full. But if they wanted to take the time and to see what the hotel was all about, we would take them on a tour. And it was an incredible day. Thinking about all the busyness and all of the things that scattered. But there were people, even back in the time when Jesus was born, there were people that stopped in the midst of their schedules to go see what this whole thing was about. We had over 400, we counted 430 some people that showed up to come take time to see what the hubbub was all about. Many of which are people I've never met before. What an incredible thing that we got to do together as a church. We call it a community Christmas, Hotel Bethlehem. Because the idea is we want to be His face in our community. And what would it look like for us to have community Christmas every day? That we could share the great news and the good stories. So I think the way ahead is a life of devotion, being His face to our community and to our world. That we'd be a people that what He sees and what He says, we begin to see it because we're walking in the rhythm and the heartbeat of who He is. And then we respond. In the moment, we're able to respond. Because we're walking in the disciplines, we can move in the freedom. I believe we're becoming a people unshakable in our commitment with fearless faith, infectious hope, and relentless love. That's who He's shaping us to be. And the journey really begins with us waking the soul. been thinking about this a lot and thinking about where the Lord would have us go. And Ephesians 5:14 says this, "For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you." You know, Hebrews, three different times in chapter 3 verse and chapter 4, there's a warning. And I was reading this warning and it stirred something in me because I thought, how often in me, when I feel a little prompting, my first response is to kind of push it away or push it aside. And this is what it says. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. I thought, how often in my own life, when I know that God's speaking to me in something, and instead of responding, I've medicated. And over time, your heart becomes hard, and you stop hearing the still, quiet voice of the Lord. This is a year for us where I believe God is saying, I want you to wake up your soul. And I want to tell you, when you start waking up your soul, there's two things that will happen. Either we're going to move into His presence, or we're going to be moved to self-medicate. Because you can't stay here. It's too hard to stay here. You got to move one place or the other. This year ahead, will we be people? And I think we are. I think that's what God's stirring in me, is He wants to wake up those parts of our soul that have been asleep, that have grown numb, that have become callous. He wants to wake that up so we move into His presence. He created our soul. It says this in Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." The problem is as we walk through this world, everything in this world, in this life, in this side of eternity, wants us to grow numb and to fall asleep to the real realities of what's really important. To get us busy with lots of things, lots of stuff, to find ourselves medicating so that we don't have to feel. And I believe that God is saying, my qualities, they're there, my power, my eternal, my divine nature, they're clearly seen if you would just wake up your soul. Dan Russell, wake up your soul. Jeremiah 1:5 gives us something as I think about this soul and why it's so important. And this might bend your mind a little bit. It does mine when I think about it. But there's something freeing, too, if you think about this. What is the soul and why is it so important? The soul is the first thing that I thought. The soul is it's the whole of who I am. It's the whole of you that existed before you were. It's the whole of you that existed before you were. Now think about this. Jeremiah 1:5. God says to Jeremiah, He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Somehow, He's saying, Jeremiah, you existed before you were because you existed in Me. I knew you. In fact, I not only knew you, I set you apart before you ever were. You were whole and complete and finished before you were ever born. Think about that for a moment. God knew you before you were here. You existed then somehow in Him because He knew you. That's your soul. Also, your soul is the portion of you that will continue to exist long after you are. It says in Ecclesiastes that He has set eternity in the human heart. Yeah, you know, one of the blessings of a pastor, it really is a blessing, is to be a part of life. I love dedicating new babies. I love weddings. And I also enjoy funerals. There's a blessing to being a part of all of it because it's life. It's what we experience. But, you know, you can go to a funeral where somebody has passed away that's 5 or 90 years old. It doesn't matter. We all still experience loss. And we grieve it. Because something in us says, this isn't right. Why? Because God said eternity in our hearts. We weren't meant to die. We weren't meant to pass away. And there's something in us that recognizes us that in that moment. There's got to be something more than this. That's your soul. It's your soul. It's what existed before you were. It's what's going to exist long after you are. And in God, He sees it whole and complete. Finished. I'm starting to spit here. I'm getting excited. You know, your soul is the part of you that's real. The soul, it's more real than what you can see or feel in the natural. And it's the most important aspect of who you are. It is the most important aspect of who you are. Ruth Haley Barton wrote a book called Sacred Rhythms. If you're taking notes, it would be a great book for you to pick up. Sacred Rhythms. Ruth Haley Barton. I think a lot of what she writes in that book is a lot of where God wants to take us this year. But she says this in this book. She says, you might think that your woundedness or your sinfulness is the truest thing about you, or that your giftedness or your personality type or your job title or your identity as a husband or wife, mother or father, that somehow defines you. But in reality, it is your desire for God and your capacity to reach for more of God than you have right now. That is the deepest essence of who you are. Your desire for more of God than you have right now, your longing for love, your need for deeper levels of spiritual transformation that you than you have experienced so far is the truest thing about you. Are we paying attention to the inner realities? How often in my world, Dan Russell's world, am I caught up in all of these outer realities and I'm missing the most important reality of all? The reality that has been a reality long before I was, and the reality that will be a reality long after I am. That's my soul. Psalm 139, verse 13 says, for God, you created that inner reality. You created my inmost being. You created that soul in me. You are the one. Are we paying attention to our soul? And I'm thinking about this and thinking about one of the things that I had the opportunity to do in my life that I really enjoyed was being a Olympic solidarity instructor, where I got to go into developing nations and help them begin to build an Olympic committee and develop grassroots sports. And every Olympics, they bring developing nations with their athletes as they're just learning these sports in remote places all over the world, and they get to come to the Olympics and experience the Olympics. It's an incredible thing to go with a whole group of people to the Olympics when they've never seen things like this before. I was in a Federated States of Micronesia for 4 years working with them, where they didn't have television yet. They were hoping to get television. They were hoping to pave the very first road while I was there. They didn't quite get to it, but they were working towards it. I mean, remote places, and they get to come and experience the Olympics. It's kind of a picture of what we're going to get to experience someday when we get to see every tribe, every tongue, every nation together. We get glimpses, but they're just glimpses now. But I was in Palau, and most people never heard of Palau until Survivor Palau, but Palau was this island that I got to go work with them and help them, and I'm with the group that I'm coaching every day, and working with them on their wrestling skills, because that was my primary purpose. If we're going to start an Olympic movement, we're going to start with wrestling. So we're over there, and I take these wrestlers out, and they want to take me out on a boat onto the, you know, because that's kind of their livelihood. So we get on this boat. I'm terrified of sharks. I've watched Jaws one too many times, and I'm not a good swimmer. I mean, I get from point A to point B, but it's really ugly. I mean, it's... And this black tip shark starts circling our boat, and it's about 3.5 feet long. It's there, and these guys start prodding me. You need to jump in the water with it. Now, you can pray for me on this, because it's kind of, I can do that. I'm terrified, but I'm not going to let them know. So I go, sure, and I jump in the water with this black-tipped shark. And in my mind, I mean, my heart's doing this, and I'm thinking, okay, don't make big splashes. I watched Jaws too many times, you know. So long, smooth strokes, glide, 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 long, smooth strokes, glide, glide. And as I'm trying to get back onto the boat, because I jumped in the water like they asked, and I wanted to get out of the water as soon as I could, they take the boat. We're in this little lagoon, and they take the boat, and they circle it all around. I mean, they're going away from me. And I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not gliding very far. And I'm watching the boat as it slowly disappears out around the corner. It took me forever to get to the boat. And I'm panicked. They finally pull me up in the boat, and I wasn't happy. And I told them, I what are you guys doing? I could have died out there, that black-tipped shark. They said, Dan, I mean, if you were spearfishing, that's the times when the sharks would attack. You were in no danger from the shark. I mean, they swim with them all the time. It was not a big deal. They said, why we took the boat around, it says there are saltwater crocodiles here, and they are a big deal, and we wanted to make sure that there was none around while you were swimming. What's the point? See, what lies beneath the ocean of our lives really does matter. And for some of us, we're worried about things that we don't need to be worried about. And we're not awake to the things that we should be worried about. See, I should have been a little more concerned that there were saltwater crocodiles. I didn't know. I wasn't awake to that fact. I was worried about something I didn't need to be worried about. But I did need to pay attention to something. I think this year ahead, God is wanting us to start paying attention, because what lies beneath the ocean of our lives really does matter. It does matter, and it is important. The early Wesleyans would greet each other. I think this would be a great battleground four-square greeting. And in fact, Alan Weddle is committed that this is going how he's going to start greeting folks. The Wesleyans would greet people this way. How is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? Because they understood that it is the soul that really matters. It's not what you're doing. It's not the things that got you busy. It's not your titles. It's not your goings on. It is your soul. How is it with your soul? May we be a people that can respond. It is. It's well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Our soul is the most important part of our being. And I had this question that I asked myself. And I think it's a question that I need to ask myself daily. I need to remember this. I need to write it down, so that I'm reminded of this. But what would it be like for me to live more consistently from my soul, instead of living from all of these outward, outside things? What would it look like to live more consistently from my soul? Not from my busyness, my doings, my goings, my titles, my positions, but living from my soul. That listening, that stillness, that hearing God and responding, soul. Wake up. Wake up. Because what lies beneath really does matter. And today, if I hear His voice, don't harden my heart. Don't go over here to where you self-medicate. When you hear His voice, Dan Russell, can you move over this way where you come into His presence, the one who created your soul, the one who knew your soul before you were, and the one that will be with your soul long after you are. That. This is a year for us to stop moving to this place over here and start moving into His presence. Because it's in His presence that that transformation happens. Romans 13:11 says this, and do this, understanding the present time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Oh, Russell, your sleeping soul. My sleeping soul. where I think, you know what, my life's fine. It's just like everybody else's life. I can see what's right here in plain view, and things seem to be working fairly well. And I allow myself to become numb. But there's a place in God's perfect timing where we begin to open our eyes to a new sense of awareness, where questions begin to stir. There's aching, there's a longing, there's a sensing that there's awareness that there's something missing. There's got to be something more. Sometimes even there's been seasons in my life where there's a profound loneliness that begins to creep in, and there's this desire within me to become more healthy, more whole, and this yearning starts to rise within that place. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in that place where I have walked into God's presence and He's done something spectacular. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in this place and I walked over here to my self-medication and allowed myself to grow numb. And I feel the Lord challenging us in this year ahead to keep moving towards Him. Keep moving towards Him. I think this is a time when our awareness can no longer allow us to pretend that everything's okay. You come to a place where you recognize that, and you're either going to numb, fall asleep, or you begin to wake up. You know, most often denial can be a lot less painful than awareness. And I can be really good at denying. We begin to wake up and we begin to see, and we begin to name truth more accurately. I think this is a year for us to begin to see and to name truth more accurately. And instead of moving towards the medication, self-medication, we're going to move here to His presence. But we're going to see it and we're going to name it accurately. We're not going to deny. And when that's the place when we do that. That's where we begin to walk in the fullness of His grace. When we walk in the disciplines of that, we begin to experience the freedoms in that. Today, if you hear His voice, it's not hard in our heart. You know, when we begin to wake up, there's a responsibility to respond. Revelation 3, verse 3 says, "Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. For if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." You know, I think even like this morning, I tend to wake up or to avoid waking up as long as possible. This morning I rolled over, looked at the clock, and I started doing the math. What's the latest I could possibly get out of bed without being late? I know nobody else does that. But there comes a point when it's too late. Our hearts become too hard or too calloused, where we can no longer hear the quiet stillness of His voice. When is the pain of staying the same going to be greater than the pain of seeing and naming truth? In the awakening process, things almost... This is really going to encourage some of you. You guys ready? You can lean in on this one. In the awakening process, things almost always seem to get worse rather than better. Where's my amens and hallelujahs? There's usually darkness before the dawn. There has to be death before there can be a rebirth. That's a little bit of our year ahead. How come we got so quiet? Because you need to understand, it's in this moment. It's in this moment where God gets to come through. It's in our desperateness for God to act. It's in this place, it's this condition, it's that kind of environment where the miraculous happens. See, some of you have been praying, "God, I want to see the miraculous." Do you know what you're praying for? You're praying for yourself to be put in a desperate, difficult, challenging, impossible place. But that's where God moves best. When we move into His presence instead of moving into our self-medication. Some of you are going to stop praying for the miraculous. But I love it. It's in those places. That's where God intervenes. That's where He intersects our life. That's where things begin to happen. We've got an adventure ahead together. What an awesome thing. And the truth is, God is everywhere. I just need to wake up to His presence. He's everywhere. He's in every situation. He's in every circumstance. He's in every issue. He's in every struggle. He's in every celebration. He is there. I just need to wake up to His presence. But how do I wake up to His presence? I think one of the first things, and I think what's challenged, that I believe God's challenging all of us here, and He's challenging me too in this year ahead, it's in the quiet and it's in the stillness. He's calling us to a place. I was reminded of when God did something radical in me when I thought I was so unlovable that nobody could love me, that I was a problem, that I was... I believed the things that people spoke about me. I remember it was sitting underneath a tree where I got quiet and I heard the Lord speak to me. And what He said changed me forever. Dan, I love you. You know, I couldn't hear it until I got quiet. But when I got quiet and I heard it, it changed everything in me and it changed the world around me. It had an impact on the hallways of my school. It changed me and it changed those around me. Not from doing more, but because I got quiet. I'm thinking about now what's become my annual pilgrimage to the time with the singing monks at Mount Angel, where I go spend a week in a monastery where it's just quiet. And I don't do quiet well. I'm busy. I have so many things. But it's in those quiet spaces, in those quiet places, that God begins to speak. And that's where real change, real transformation begins to happen. It's in His presence. And He's calling us to come into His presence, to have conversations with Him, to be still, and for me to... so that He can speak. Because He wants to speak. And what He wants to speak is going to make all the difference in the world. In this season ahead, I've been working on, and it's been an incredible, you know, I didn't understand Sabbath. I didn't get it. And so, you know, my first attempts at Sabbath were as fruitless as, I mean, trying hard to do Sabbath. Do you do Sabbath? And do you try hard at Sabbath, you know, at that resting place? So I always thought one day a week, I'm just going to do nothing. I try laying in bed all day. See if it just didn't. I was more tired by the end of the day than I was refreshed. What I found is Sabbath day for me is my day to really take the time to get quiet and to get still before the Lord, and to spend lots of time with Him. My Sabbath is a lot of reading, it's a lot of thinking, it's a lot of just having a conversation with God. And I found for me, I have to leave my normal routine, my normal schedule. I've got to get out of, I mean, I drive out of Battleground. I drive all the way to Vancouver usually. So I'm away from my normal so that I can get alone with Him. My favorite thing is to go to a Vietnamese restaurant and get a bowl of pho. I get my little bowl of soup and I sit, and they're big bowls, so they take me a long time. And I just sit and I read and I listen. And I find when I don't take that time, I'm a jerk. I am. My natural me is not much fun to be around if I don't take time to be quiet with Him, to hear from Him, because it changes something. And my weeks are different when I discipline myself to take that time to be quiet. And I think the Lord is really challenging us, not just me, but us this year, to get quiet and still before Him. To really take that time. And, it doesn't need to be a specific day. I think you need to have a day out of seven that you take and say, this is my day to have a time, a conversation with God that goes all day. Just God and me. To allow Him to refresh, to restore, to renew. A place where I'm moving into His presence so that it's not about having a devotional life. It's about me then beginning to live a life of devotion because I've heard from Him. I think what was powerful about Hotel Bethlehem, I had a couple that was here, and they're part of it, and they said, Dan, I've been a lot of church productions, and they said, this doesn't feel like a production. And I love that. Because Hotel Bethlehem wasn't about us doing His space in our community. It's about us hearing what we felt like God wanted us to do, and we responded in the midst of it. But it was more about us being His face than doing His face. And how often in my life it's about doing His face. And God says, no, I just want you to be my face. But we can only be His face when we're spending that face-to-face time with Him. We're getting quiet and still and we hear His voice and then we respond. And you know, you come out of that refreshed, not... you come out of energized and excited. Think of Moses. As Moses was on the job doing what he had done for 40 years in this desert, taking care of sheep. And it says that he took, as he was doing his normal everyday business as usual, it says he stopped, he paused, it says he noticed, and it says that he turned aside. And I think this is a year for us to stop, to pause, for us to turn aside from business as usual. And what's powerful is when he did that, this is what it says. This is when his soul was awakened, because he stopped, he paused, he turned aside. When his soul was awakened, listen. God spoke. It was in that moment where he heard the Lord. Burning bush over here, let's go check what that's about. No longer business as usual. I'm going to stop, I'm going to pause, I'm going to turn aside. And as he turned aside and he took his sandals off and he was before that burning bush because he recognized, there's something holy about this place. There's something holy about this space right here. His soul was awakened. And he heard God. And that brought deliverance to the people. Now, he had tried to do that earlier. It didn't work so well when he was doing God's business. But when he stopped and paused and turned aside and he heard the Lord speak, it made all the difference in the world. Lamentations says this in chapter 3, verse 28, 29. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. I think God, as I was reading this, was speaking to us as a church. Let us sit. Let us take some time in silence because I think the Lord is laying that upon us in the season ahead. And then it says this, and this was kind of a strange thing. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. I thought, God, what are you saying? Sit in silence, that solitude, stillness. Bury my face. Begin to pay attention to those inner realities. Begin to pay attention to my soul. This is going to be a place of hope where we begin to have a conversation with the living God. I think we need to stop attempting to get it right and let's make a journey to getting it lived. We don't need to get it right. Let's just go get it lived. We've got an adventure ahead for us. Wake up to the reality of what we already know to be true. So in a moment, we're going to take communion together. It'd be appropriate for us to begin the year. In the context, I want us to do it. I want you to think of Jacob. Jacob's one of my favorite characters in the Bible because Jacob was a wrestler. He understood wrestling. And it says that Jacob had a... Yes, he was. Don't give me that look. He was a wrestler. And it says that he was wrestling with the God man. That's what it says, God-man. There's only one God-man that I know. You know, there are glimpses in the Old Testament where we see Jesus come before he was. Before he came as a baby, as was so beautifully placed, that he put himself in our hands. You know, he's still doing that today. But before he did that, he already had come. He was the Word in the beginning. He shows up. He's with Jacob. And the thing about wrestlers, the most important thing for a wrestler is a wrestler's grip. And I'd always read it and thought, you know, it says Jacob, he wouldn't let go of that God man. He wouldn't let him go. They wrestled all night. It was a grind match. But the beauty of the story was not that Jacob had the wrestler's grip. It was that man God, that Jesus had a grip on Jacob. And just to let him know, he touched his hip got dislocated and he walked with a limp the rest of his days. But proud of the moment that he wrestled. And I love this. It says that Jacob, in that moment, says, Jesus, the man God, spoke a blessing over him. And he began to tell him that blessing and what was going to happen and all of these things that he had for him. And then what we see is the one that said, I'm going to speak this blessing over you, is the one that became the blessing by coming as a little baby, placed into our hands. And I think the same is true today. Is God speaking a blessing over us as a people? And He is the fulfillment of that blessing. See, it's not about us. It's not about us having to do anything. He doesn't need us to do anything great for Him. He's the one that wants to do the great things. He gives the blessing and He becomes the blessing. All we need to do is be present, taking time to listen to Him, because He is still in the same business of putting Himself in our hands. It's not us going, but it's Him listening. This is what I'm speaking over you. This is the blessing. And then I'm going to be that blessing. Now go. Now walk. So there's this moment, and he has this dream. And he sees this ladder up into heaven. And he ends up calling this place Bethel, which means the house of God. In a moment, we're gonna take communion together. And I want you to think about the house of God. Who is the house of God? I'm the house of God. You're the house of God. And this is what he says. It's found in Genesis 28, verse 16. It says, when Jacob awoke, see, he'd been asleep. For some of us, we've been asleep far too long, and we're starting to wake up. And it says, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. So as we take communion here in a moment, I want you to think about this. Surely the Lord is in this place. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, oh my soul. Wake up. I wasn't aware of it before, but I'm aware of it now. Surely the Lord is in this place. And let's walk into His presence. You know, Jesus, ushers, come on forward. Let's go ahead and start passing the elements out. If you want to just take a hold of them for a moment, because I want to take some time to be still as we do. Jesus again invites us to this place where He was with His friends, and He again is showing us that He is the fulfillment of the blessing. He speaks the blessing and then He becomes the blessing. So that night He took the bread when He was with His friends, and it says He broke it, and He began to explain to them that this is His body and it had been broken for them. And that same night He took the cup, and it says that He took the cup and He gave thanks. That always astounds me, because I know what that cup represents, because He later told them, this is my blood and it's been poured out for you. He gave thanks to God that He could pour out His blood for you. That He could be a willing sacrifice for you. That He could be the blessing for you. That He could be the fulfillment of the blessing for you. That astounds me. This morning, as we take time to have communion, I feel like it's a holy time between you and the Lord. For you to say, surely, surely the Lord is in this place. Wake up, wake up, wake up, oh my soul. Wake up, Lord, you are here. I may not have been aware of it before, but I'm aware of it today. Lord, you are here. You're here. So just in the quietness, Joyce is going to play. When you're ready, you just have a conversation with God. Be thankful that He blesses you and is the fulfillment of the blessing. you realize right there, what can I say, what can I do? That's the point of decision. That's the point of response. Where I say, Lord, I'm going to offer my heart. I'm going to move into your presence. Or that's the moment where we say, God, thanks, but no thanks. And we self-medicate so we don't have to feel that anymore. Because it's not comfortable to feel that. Well, that's that place of tension. That's that place of decision. I really believe this morning God is calling us into His presence. So that when we're asked the question, how is it with your soul? We really can respond. We really can respond. We really can respond. Well with my soul. I was thinking as we were closing there that I get excited. When I get excited, I yell. And so I'm ranting and raving and yell up here, but I hope underneath my ranting and raving and yell, you could hear the still quiet voice of the Lord. Because it's a lot more important to hear His voice than my voice. It's well with my soul. Lord, I hear you. My soul is awakening. And Lord, I'm moving into your presence. I want to know more of what you think of me. I want to hear the blessing you want to speak over me. And Lord, I'm going to watch and I'm going to witness how you become the blessing to the very thing that you spoke over me. And that's really our role as followers of Jesus, is to be his witness, to witness what he is doing, what he's about. And what a joy and what an adventure it's going to be for us to have our eyes and our ears open and to witness all that He is in and through us. And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you tonight. If you want to come join us, we'll be up in Yakult just for a night of worship together at the Evangelical Free Church, 6 o'clock. And love you guys. Take time to get still and quiet before Him. Each and every week this year. Each week, let's find a day where you can get quiet before Him. Hear from Him so that we can be His face. Love you. Have a great week.